Well, a habit is a redundant set of automatic unconscious thoughts, behaviors, and emotions that's acquired through repetition. A habit is when you have done something so many times that your body now knows how to do it better than your mind. So you think about it. People wake up in the morning, they begin to think about their problems. Those problems are circuits of memories in the brain. Each one of those memories are connected to people and things at certain times and places. And if the brain is a record of the past, the moment they start their day, they are already thinking in the past. Each one of those memories has an emotion. Emotions are the end product of past experiences. So the moment they recall those memories to their problems, they all of a sudden feel unhappy, they feel sad, they feel pain. Now, how you think and how you feel creates your state of being. So the person's entire state of being when they start their day is in the past. So what does that mean? The familiar past will sooner or later be a predictable future. So if you believe that your thoughts have something to do with your destiny and you can't think greater than how you feel, or feelings have become the means of thinking, by the very definition of emotions, you are thinking in the past. And for the most part, you are going to keep creating the same life. So when people grab their cell phone, they check their WhatsApp, they check their text, they check their emails, they check Facebook, they take a picture of their feed, they post it on Facebook, they tweet something, they do Instagram, they check the news, and now they feel really connected to everything that is known in their life. And then they go through a series of routine behaviors. They get out of bed on the same side. They go to the toilet, they get a cup of coffee, they take a shower, they get dressed, they drive to work the same way. They do the same things, they see the same people, they push the same emotional buttons. That becomes the routine and it becomes like a program. So now they have lost their free will to a program. There is no unseen hand doing it to them. So when it comes time to change, the redundancy of that cycle becomes a subconscious program. 95% of who we are by the time we are 35 years old is a memorized set of behaviors, emotional reactions, unconscious habits, hardwired attitudes, beliefs, and perceptions that function just like a computer program. So then a person can say with 5% of their conscious mind, "Oh, I want to be healthy, I want to be happy, I want to be free." But the body is on a whole different program. So how do you begin to make those changes? Well, you have to get beyond the analytical mind, because what separates the conscious mind from the subconscious mind is the analytical mind. And that is where meditation comes in, because you can teach people through practice how to change their brainwaves, how to slow them down. And when they do that properly, they do enter the operating system where they can begin to make some really important changes. Most people wait for a crisis or a trauma or some disease or a diagnosis. They wait for loss, for some tragedy to make up their mind to change. And my message to those people is why you have to wait. I mean, you can learn and change in a state of pain and suffering, but you can also learn and change in a state of joy and inspiration. I think right now, the cool thing is that there are a lot of people waking up. The stronger the emotional reaction you have to some experience in your life, the higher the emotional quotient. The more you pay attention to the cause, the moment the brain puts all of its attention on the cause, it takes a snapshot, and that is called a memory. So long-term memories are created from very highly emotional experiences. So what happens then is that people think neurologically within the circuitry of that experience, and they feel chemically within the boundaries of those emotions. And so when you have an emotional reaction to someone or something, most people think that they can't control their emotional reaction. And it turns out if you allow that emotional reaction, which is called a refractory period, if you allow it to last for hours or days, then you call it the mood. And that's when someone says, hey, I am in the mood. And then we ask, why are you in the mood? And then that person will reply, I had this thing happen to me 5 days ago, and I'm just having one long emotional reaction. And if you keep that same emotional reaction going on for weeks and months, that is called a temperament. Someone will ask, why is that person so bitter? And then, well, let's go into ask why so bitter. So why are you so bitter? And they will answer, well, I had this thing happen to me 9 months ago. And if you keep that same emotional reaction going on for years on end, that is called a personality trait. And learning how to shorten your refractory period of emotional reactions is really where the work starts. So when people they have an event, what they do is they keep recalling the event because of the emotions of stress hormones. The survival emotions are saying, hey, hey, pay attention to what happened because you want to be prepared if it happens again. And turns out that most of the people spend 70% of their life living in survival and stress, always trying to anticipate worst case scenario based on a past experience. And they are literally out of the infinite potential of the quantum field. They are selecting the worst possible outcome, and they are beginning to emotionally embrace it with fear. And they are conditioning their body into a state of fear. Do that enough times and the body has a panic attack without you. Then you can't even predict it because it's programmed subconsciously. So then you say to the person, why are you like this? Why are you this way? And they will answer, I am this way because of this event that happened to me 15 or 20 years ago. And what that means from a biological standpoint is that they haven't been able to change since that event. So then the emotions from the experience tend to give the body and the brain a rush of energy. So people become addicted to the rush of those emotions, and they use the problems and conditions in their life to reaffirm their limitation, so at least they can feel something. So now when it comes time to change, you say to the person, why are they this way? Well, every time they recall the event, they are producing the same chemistry in the brain and body as if the event is happening right now, firing and wiring the same circuits, sending the same emotional signature to the body. What is the relevance behind that? Well, your body is the unconscious mind. It doesn't know the difference between the experience that is creating the emotion and the emotion that you are creating by thought alone. So the body is believing it's living in the same past experience 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. And so then when those emotions influence certain thoughts, and they do, those thoughts create the same emotions, and those same emotions influence the same thoughts. Now the entire person's state of being is in the past. So then the hardest part about change is not making the same choice you did the day before. And the moment you decide to make a different choice, get ready because it's going to feel uncomfortable. I think that the bigger thing is that as we keep firing and wiring those circuits, they become more hardwired. so that you have a thought and then the program runs. But it's the emotion that follows the thought. If you have a fearful thought, you are going to feel anxiety. And you feel anxiety, your brain is checking in with your body and saying, yay, you are pretty anxious. So then you start thinking more corresponding thoughts equal to how you feel. Well, the redundancy of that cycle conditions the redundancy of this cycle, what it's doing is like to condition the body to become the mind. So now when it comes time to change, the person steps into that river of change and they make a different choice, and all of a sudden they don't feel the same way. So the body says, well, wait a second. You have been doing this for 35 years. You are going to just stop suffering and stop feeling guilty and stop feeling shameful, and you are not going to complain or blame or make excuses or feel sorry for yourself anymore? Are you kidding me? The body is in the ungno. So the body says, no. You know, I prefer if we turn back to the familiar territory. And then the body starts influencing the mind and starts saying things like, you know what, you should start tomorrow. You know, it's too late right now. You shouldn't do it right now. You are too much like your parents. It's not going to work. You will never change. Come on, just stop doing this. It's never going to work for you. This just doesn't feel right. And if you respond to that thought or to these thoughts as if it's true or they are true, that same thought will lead to the same choice, which will lead to the same behavior, which will lead to creating the same experience, which will produce the same emotions. And if you remember, if you understand that your body is your unconscious mind, in a sense, if you are sitting down and you start thinking about some future worst case scenario that you are conjuring up in your mind and you begin to feel the emotion of that event, your body doesn't know the difference between the event that is taking place in your world, outer world, and what you are creating by emotion by thinking about it. So most people then, they are constantly reaffirming their emotional states, so when it comes time to give up that emotion, they can say, I really want to do it. But really, the body is stronger than the mind because it's been conditioned that way. So the servant now has become the master, and the person, all of a sudden, once they step into that unknown, they would rather feel guilt and suffering because at least they can predict it. Being in the unknown is a scary place for most people because the unknown is uncertain. And people say to me, well, I can't predict my future. I am in the unknown. And I always tell them, you know, the best way to predict your future is to create it. Not from the known, but from the unknown. What thoughts do you want to fire and wire in your brain? What behaviors do you want to demonstrate in one day? The act of rehearsing them mentally, closing your eyes and rehearsing the action, just by closing your eyes and mentally rehearsing some action, if you are truly present, the brain does not know the difference between what you are imagining and what you are experiencing in a 3D world. So then you begin to install the neurological hardware in your brain to look like the event has already occurred. Now, your brain is no longer a record of the past. Now it's a map to the future. And if you keep doing it, priming it that way, the hardware becomes the software program. And well, who knows, maybe one day you may start acting like you're a happy person. And then I think the hardest part is to teach our body emotionally what the future will feel like ahead of the actual experience. So what does that mean? You can't wait for your success to feel empowered. You cannot wait for your wealth to feel abundant. You cannot wait for your new relationship to feel love or your healing to feel whole. That's the old model of reality of cause and effect, waiting for something outside of us to change how we feel inside of us. When we feel better inside of us, we pay attention to whoever or whatever caused it. But what that means then is that from a Newtonian world, is that people spend their whole life living in lack, waiting for something to change out there. And what I mean with Newtonian world is about the predictable thing. It's all about predicting the future. But the quantum model, which is totally different than the Newtonian world, the quantum model is a reality of causing an effect. The moment you start feeling abundant and worthy, you are generating wealth. The moment you are empowered and feel it, you are beginning to step towards your success. The moment you start feeling whole, your healing begins. And when you love yourself and love all of life, you will create an equal. And now you are causing an effect. I think that is the difference between living a victim in your world, saying, oh, I am this way because of this person or that thing or this experience. They made me think and feel this way. When you switch that around, you become a creator of your world. Then you start saying, my thinking and my feeling is changing an outcome in my life. And now that is a whole different game. And we start believing more that we are creators of reality.